What a week we've been having in the press. Have you been following it all? It's just, I think it's riveting. It's as if a curtain is being pulled back on our national life. And we're seeing things which have been concealed and which are being revealed, which really make you shudder. The very foundations of our society being exposed as fairly sordid and corrupt. We keep seeing these unbelievable scandals, don't we, in our national life, across the world as well, but certainly in our national life. We've had corruption in the church with all kinds of things that we would never have believed about paedophile priests. We've had corrupt politicians with all of the expenses scandals. We've got the hacking problem with the press, and it appears even the corruption of the police itself. What do we do when those who are supposed to hold evil to account appear to be so complicit in it? I think probably it's one of the obstacles to faith, the fact that people look around them and see so much evil and shame in the world, and of course not just in the world but in the church. It's a real obstacle to faith when we see goodness trampled upon and evil seeming to thrive so well, where bad people often succeed. So with all this evil around us, we often yearn for justice, and you could be forgiven for wanting to see bad people sorted out. And I guess this parable lends itself to that. And I can imagine really tub-thumping preachers all across the country having a field day today with this parable, which talks about people being thrown into the fiery furnace. We need to look at the parable very, very clearly, because I think it's saying something very, very different. And that's what we'll do today. I think Jesus is telling us that wanting to throw the wicked into the fire is probably the opposite of what we should be doing. As we look around us at the evil in the world, the message of the parable of the wheat and the tares growing together is that evil does exist alongside good until the day of judgment, and it's God who'll be the judge. And I think that's really important, that there's a sense in which we have to wait. Jesus tells of a wonderful, it's a little agricultural illustration from first century Palestine. A really important lesson for us. People at the time would have understood, I think, because wheat was so important. It was part of a staple diet. They understood how it grew in the field. They wouldn't have understood this illustration of weeds growing within the wheat. They'd have known what Jesus was talking about. They'd have seen how this weed darnel grew with wheat and how it could infect the crop. And of course, you couldn't just pull it out. By the time you realised it was a weed, it had already put its roots, and the weed was strong, its roots all the way around the wheat. So if you pulled the weed out, up would come the wheat as well. In these days before we had the wonderful, I walked through a field of wheat the other day, and there was not a weed in sight, of course, because it was all just sprayed. But in those days, you couldn't just go along and just pull it out, because you'd lose your crop as well. And it was important to get the weeds out, because this weed is toxic and it is poisonous. So at harvest time, you went and you separated it, and any that got through, it was taken out on the threshing floor. And the weeds were bundled up, not just to be thrown into the fire, but of course to be used, because this was fuel, something that you could burn. It wasn't a waste product. It was something actually quite useful in some ways. And so we're told that as the farmer has to leave the wheat and the weed growing together until harvest time, so too we must not indulge now in the practice of judgment. We've got to leave it until the final judgment of God himself. Now, that's a hard lesson. I mean, if you see weeds growing, I mean, Marion, you must just, you despair, don't you? You see weeds, you want to pull them out. If you come up here on a Friday, Marion's all over the place with her mat and her truck and her trowel, and she's digging weeds out everywhere because, you know, that to a gardener, this is abhorrent that you should allow weeds to thrive among the wheat. It's counterintuitive. We want to go out and spray them and cut them and hoe them and do all kinds of stuff. And there is within inside every one of us a desire, just like the keen gardener, to go out and make judgmental statements and have a go. There's probably a self-righteous streak in every one of us that would allow us, if the circumstances were to afford it, that we could become a moral crusader. We've probably all got that self-righteous bit somewhere down here. And, you know, it's easy to throw stones at people in history, you know, the witch burners, the inquisitors, the crusaders. It's very easy to be judgmental upon them. We all have that propensity within us, that self-righteousness. And what we're told today is to stop it. To stop it. It's hard, it's really hard when we see evil thriving, when we see weeds in God's field. It can be taken as moral indifference, and we certainly don't want that. We might think that the good could be overwhelmed. You know, we have to remind God, look, listen, God, you know, there's all these weeds out there. Have you seen what's happening to your world? Can't you do something about it? But God doesn't want us to be religious police, going around and doing his job of judgment. So what do we do? Well, we don't just sit back and watch the weeds growing. We're encouraged not to pluck, but to plant, to work for good in God's world. In the midst of a very mixed up and sordid world, we're encouraged to bless instead of curse, to offer praise instead of criticism, to be those who get involved and get stuck in rather than those who walk by on the other side, to practice Christ's example of love and not hate, to forgive rather than to hold grudges and resent, and to speak truth and not falsehood to our world. This is how we can work in God's world as wheat to overcome the weeds. I don't know, I haven't got a clue why God does it this way, why God allows evil to be present in his world. But what is very clear is that evil isn't of God. And the message that Christ gives us this morning is that it's an evil one who's sown the seed, not God. And that's really, really important, because there are times when some people think that when evil happens to them or bad happens to them, that somehow that's God doing it. And it's really important to hear the lesson here this morning that that isn't of God at all. And that should encourage us to have patience in the face of situations when we see bad things happening to good people. And we see lots of those situations, people who die before their time, people who suffer unnecessarily. This is a lesson to us this morning to learn God's business of patience, to leave the judgment to God and concentrate on doing good, on bringing fruit into the world. Those wonderful gifts of the fruit of the Spirit that we read about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. These are all things that work against evil in our world. It's not for us to take out the evil. It's for us to do the good, to pray for God to make us more like wheat. And if we're honest, one of the reasons why we can't rush to judgment is because there is within each one of us a conflict between good and bad. And if we are really truthful, none of us is all wheat. There's a little bit of weed in each one of us. And we mustn't rush to judgment. It's quite interesting to see the way that God works with weeds. And it's encouraging for us as we look at our own weediness. You know, you look at men like Moses, who was a murderer. And God raised him up and worked wonderful things with him. You look at someone like King David, who was a murderer and an adulterer. And God did tremendous things with him. You look at someone like the Apostle Paul. I mean, I always think of him as a murderer. He stood by as Stephen was stoned to death. He persecuted the Christians. He didn't persecute them by going around telling them, well, you shouldn't be a Christian. They rounded them up and had them killed. These are all people that God used. Weeds who became fruitful. And the life of Jesus tells us to be really careful about making too many assumptions of who's a weed and who's wheat. Remember, Jesus had his strongest criticism for those who considered themselves to be the strongest wheat. You know, the really religious people were the ones he went for, and he spent his time with the weeds. Jesus was the one who went around with the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the people who were thought to be the worst sinners. It's difficult for us because we just have this human propensity to rush to judgment. And that's why this parable is going to be so badly interpreted across the world today. Because preachers, like anyone else, want to rush to judgment and cast stones. That's what we're good at. And Christ tells us, lay off, it's God's field. And it's God's judgment and not yours. What we do, I mean, it's an interesting word that Jesus uses. He says, let it be, let it go. The same word, forgive. And how do you tackle evil in the world? You let it go, you forgive it. As indeed God does. The story this morning is about God's grace. It's about God giving time. It's about us learning not to be frustrated when we see the evil and the suffering in the world, recognizing that God is committed to sorting it out. And that's God's work, not ours. And if we doubt God's commitment, then we look at the cross and we see that as the supreme example of God dealing with evil in the world. It's God's way of dealing with evil in the world. Good triumphing over evil in a way that we can barely understand. God's love conquering sin. In the meantime, therefore, we wait. We avoid the temptation to pluck, and we go rather to plant. We spend time nourishing wheat, nourishing good things. You know, why does our press thrive on all the horrible stuff that it's been doing over so many years, apparently? Why does it thrive? Because we have an appetite for this stuff. The papers would not have been able to do what they have been doing to our society if we had not had this appetite for salacious gossip and tittle-tattle and the ruinous things in people's lives. And let's face it, this would have gone on and on and on because we've just lapped it up until, you know, that kind of Rubicon was crossed with the Millie Dowler business. But the truth is that we have inside us some nasty weeds of our own to deal with. Society does. And, you know, if the papers were full of good stuff, no one would buy them. That's the problem. So we have to change. We have to get rid of the self-righteous hypocrisy that so often permeates ourselves, our churches, our lives. As Christians, we have to get past that human appetite for evil. Darkness is eliminated when we light candles and when we seek to be Christ's light in our world. Amen.